Good morning. So you heard an introduction to what we were supposed to do on the ground. I'm Kathleen Digri at the University of Utah, and I'm going to try to take you through what we did with this grant. We entitled ours Utah Women's Health Information Network, and we have nothing to disclose. So imagine yourself sitting there looking at the Healthy People 2010 objectives, and we had many requirements for this intervention. It had to have one or two disease areas. We chose diabetes and cardiovascular. We had to focus on the Healthy People 2010 objectives. We had to have a gender focus for each objective. We had to have partnerships in order to get our work done. We had to be sustainable at the end of the grant period, and we had to be looking for systems change. How could we actually change a system that was in place? And so our group had four partners that came together: the University of Utah, the Utah Department of Health, the Association for Community Health Centers, and many of our projects were done at different community health centers. Some of them were done at other centers, and then Utah Navajo Health System. And these were the partners that we had for 3 years. Here are a few of our objectives. I mean, one of the things that came out from all of us when we started this adventure, all the other centers, was that all of us thought we should have focused on fewer objectives, that we got a little carried away with our objectives. But as you can see, we focused on weight, moderate physical activity, eating fruits and vegetables. We chose gestational diabetes because it's an issue in our state with the ever-increasing incidence of diabetes. And as you remember, it was taken out of the Healthy People 2010 objectives. And we sought to answer why. What was at the root of the problem? And the reason it was taken out was that the data were poor. So we tried to ask the question, why are the data poor? Can we improve the data? And then we also chose getting dilated eye examinations. So you can kind of see that our population, our targeted small area population, was way below the Healthy People objectives, and so we had our work cut out for us. This is what kind of the grid looked like. We had primary interventions, secondary interventions, tertiary interventions, and we focused on education, access, exercise, nutrition, in both diabetes and cardiovascular disease. We had secondary prevention in education, and we focused a lot on provider education, because if providers don't know to counsel on fruits and vegetables, we can't get the word out. So it's really important, and we also focused on exercise and nutrition and, of course, retinopathy screening. One of our goals was to try to set up a network of how could we get information and how could people access information in our state. And so one of our projects was to partner our libraries and clinics and to train every librarian in the state of Utah, every public librarian in the state of Utah, on how to access health information for the public. We're a weird state. We have really urban population, and then we have this huge amount of rural population. And we've got libraries in all of our rural areas that have high-speed T lines, and we were able to market the use of the public libraries for health information across the entire state. And then we were able to help the clinics with information prescriptions so that people would actually have a place that they could write down what their diagnosis was so that they could actually get the right diagnosis when they went to the library. Our information network also included web telemedicine. We had numerous gender-based webcasts that went across the entire state and actually into the Intermountain West area, Nevada, several other states around Utah. We worked with the Utah Diabetes and Prevention Center to revamp their entire website to have a gender focus and really take on the issue of gestational diabetes. And we used Utah HealthNet, which is a web-based resource for Utah, but also nationally, to direct people to vetted health information in addition to the National Library of Medicine's MedLine Plus website. So that was our informational infrastructure that we tried to set up so that we could use that infrastructure for people to access health information. We had three primary interventions for diet and exercise. We started with PACE, and we found that the community health centers could not implement it. So because we had an exercise physiologist, nutritional specialist working with us, we were able to actually invent and validate in 3 years a speedy nutrition and physical activity assessment guidance protocol. And it was so successful in the CHCs that they actually implemented it into the electronic medical record. They don't call it an intervention. It's just part of what they do to help with diet and exercise counseling. And I'll show you how it changed behavior with providers before and after they had this intervention. And this is now validated. We also use Bright Futures, which is a wonderful Office on Women's Health program for diet and exercise counseling. Tried to answer the question, when is the teachable moment, postpartum visit or well woman visit, and we found out it was the well woman visit. We also adopted the Body Works program, which is another wonderful OWH program for adolescent girls' health and reaching out to many girls. It's a train-the-trainer model. Our secondary intervention really rotated around gestational diabetes and trying to find out why the data were poor. And we did some education sessions with birth certificate data that increased our ability to actually track gestational diabetes. And then Utah Navajo Health System adopted Sweet Success Program with 100% participation of all their diabetic women and gestational diabetic women. The retinal screening project, we had to develop a photographic training manual, a diabetic dilation video so that patients who couldn't be photographed through an undilated pupil could actually get dilated. We had a web-based reading center that is sustained. We increased the number of cameras with some leveraging, and then we answered some gender issues, why women were screened at lower rates than men. Turns out, you know, family obligations really interfere. And this program, the reader for the diabetic retinopathy project last summer was in Sweden and read all of these photographs, and we were able to implement it, and it's on its way to be completely self-sustaining. Our data sources, we used the BRFAS data, and we have a wonderful BRFAS data, and Suzanne was wonderful at helping us, Suzanne Haynes was helping us figure out how to get that to work for us, the Utah Birth Certificate Database. Then we used small area data around our clinics to try to assess the population around where we were having interventions. And then, of course, we linked these to the Healthy People 2010. And then we also had programmatic data for a clinical level. So this is just a graphic of, for example, the SNAP within the community health center within the small area within the state. Well, this is just, I can't go over all our data. I mean, when Barbara said there are reams of data, she's not kidding. We're just one program and we have reams of data. But you can see that across our programs, we kept increasing the number of daily servings of vegetable every single year, and especially in our women population. We then had control clinics that had no intervention versus clinics that did have an intervention, and we were able to show that our program actually was working in the clinics that we had for just the eating vegetables as one small part of our data set. We also found that we increased our providers talking to patients about diet because some of them didn't know how to talk about them, and this program allowed them the words to use to talk to their clients. And then we also increased the number of providers who talked about physical activity and the importance of that. And this we considered to be a really great outcome. And then these are our objectives on state change. We increased by 4%, well, anywhere from 7% to 4%. Our small areas also increased. Our clinics increased, except for, and I'll address this dilated exam thing, and then our programmatic changes were, you know, we had huge numbers of percent change. Interestingly, the BRFAS data collects only dilated eye exams by an ophthalmologist, and our screening program actually increased the screening rate by 25 to 30% in these clinics, but took them through an undilated pupil in a camera, and then were read, and then were referred. We had products that came out of our 3 years. We did a meeting in Salt Lake that had over 100 attendees to discuss diabetes and women. We actually are publishing this month this book, Diabetes Focus on Women, and it goes through all of the problems of women with diabetes, including sexual dysfunction, depression, and medication use. We have several websites that are ongoing and sustained, Utah Health Net, RUN website, and the diabetes website. And we also have this new evidence-based intervention. And we actually won 2 awards, 1 national and 1 statewide, for our library partnerships. So we had several systematic changes that occurred with our grant. The SNAP getting into the electronic medical record of community health centers was really a big one. This electronic diabetic retinopathy screening program that's ongoing increases screening for diabetic retinopathy, and our statewide library partnership is now being handled by the State Library Association, so that an Apple icon is on the desktop of the State Library site, so that everybody in the state of Utah that goes to the State Library can click on the icon and be taken to Medline Plus and other vetted health information systems. We found that Healthy People 2010 was very helpful. First of all, it structured our interventions so we knew what we were doing. It helped us focus on disease prevention. It helped us focus on diabetes, cardiovascular disease. We could target small areas. We could target statewide data at, using the BRFAS system, because the same questions were being asked by BRFAS. We added a sex and gender focus to each goal, and we found that that was really helpful to us, and we had to answer questions like, who is the health information seeker for our families? And we had unintended consequences that we were able to use these BRFAS questions for standardized comparisons across other programs, and we were able to compare clinics with and without interventions. We had challenges too. The biggest challenge was, how do you do all this in 3 years? I mean, it makes my head spin just telling you what we did, because it's like it's almost a post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. sometimes the small areas were blurred because the numbers were so small. And sometimes, you know, you would hope that your project attacked a Healthy People objective, and maybe, you know, it didn't quite meet the mark. Some of the objectives had to be modified a little bit, and as you know, some of the objectives of Healthy People were deleted at mid-course review. We had some unexpected barriers. We tied some of our data to BRFAS, and BRFAS uses telephone surveys. And how many people have telephones in some of our underserved areas? Well, they have cell phones, but they don't have landline telephones. And so we found that the best way to get our data was, we had to go actually to the clinics themselves to really collect on-the-ground data. And I think that's going to be an important issue that we're going to all have to address in our programs, because BRFAS uses landlines, not cell phones. And these cell phones are used for, what, 5 minutes and thrown away after the minutes are gone, and then they're on to another cell phone. So it's a problem. Some of our innovative services couldn't be completely evaluated, for example, in libraries, because the libraries have to be open access, and they can't tell us where users went or what they clicked on because of privacy laws. And the goal for healthy people is 10 years. You know, we were supposed to work on something for 10 years. Well, we had 3 years. But, you know, we did the best we could in 3 years. We did learn lessons, though, that healthy people is a great framework for communities to implement projects. It gives you built-in goals, built-in assessment tools using the BRFIS questions. It can be adapted for systems change. And I think that if we're going to really make changes, we have to look at systematic viewpoints. And we found it was a wonderful way to look at gender differences, and we, in fact, I think that that was one of our major aha moments, was that it really helped us focus in on, well, who is the information gatherer? Why are women not getting screened for diabetic retinopathy? And it really helps us obtain data to measure our progress. And so I would like to just say that as an on-the-ground user, I found Healthy People 2010 enormously useful. I look forward to hearing about Healthy People 2020. So thank you. Any questions? Yes. I know it. Okay, it's so yes, on the other languages, our SNAP was validated in Spanish and English because our major minority population is Hispanic in Utah, and it's very rapidly growing. I mean, it's huge. This NLM loss is, this is a national resource. I mean, libraries are in the public domain. It gives people so many opportunities, and our neediest populations are actually using public libraries, going there because they can get to the internet, they can use free materials, and here we're facing this downturn of funding. It's very sad. It's not good. And you know, I think it's something we in public health should be well aware of, and at least encourage people to not cut off a major resource for our entire country. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you. Thanks a lot.